Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, titled, Why Callest Thou Me Good? This passage is greatly misunderstood and used by cults and false teachers to deny the sinlessness of Christ and to deny His deity. But we will see that Jesus teaches the exact opposite of such things. The conclusion of this two-part study can be found at bbfohio.com. You'll also find many other free resources, as well as our contact and donation information. And that website, again, is bbfohio.com. And now we begin with the current events update, and then our study in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, titled, Why Callest Thou Me Good? This is part one of two. Our current events update. Number one, a new Ohio gun law goes into effect tomorrow. Amen. As of tomorrow, we are a constitutional carry state. What that means is the Constitution says that you have a right to bear arms. Pretty much since then, Americans have had to deal with a lot of people who think that the answer to crime is to make sure that only criminals have guns. Think of the mentally disturbed view of the liberals that will tell you that the way to keep your children safe is to make them gun-free slaughter zones so that anyone who wants to kill a bunch of kids can walk into any public school and shoot as many as they want. It's going to be a good while before anybody gets there to stop them. It's insanity, and it's stupid, and it's child abuse. Amen. We should protect our children the same way we protect our crooked politicians.
Amen.
Amen. Well, in Ohio, starting tomorrow, the constitutional carry law goes into effect. So that means you can carry a concealed gun, and you don't have to pay the tax.
Unless you're
well, that's where I'm getting into that. You're supposed to hold your question, comment. But I want to say this. I'm not telling you to join, but Buckeye Firearms Association is very up-to-date and current on Ohio gun laws. And if you do join, that's probably a good idea. It's, I think, $25 a year or something, but I don't get any kickback. I'm not advertising for them. But if you go to their website, you can read the information on that. You got to know the laws. Don't just carry and not know the laws. You also need to take that gun out and shoot it. You need to learn how to clean it, how to properly carry it. Some very easy pointers, though, when it comes to a gun. Number one, never put your finger on the trigger unless you intend to shoot it. Never. All these idiots in Hollywood and all the movies, you'll see them with their finger on the trigger all the time, and that's why people like Alec Baldwin shoot and kill people when the gun, it turns out to have real ammo. But if he followed gun law, gun rules, that would have never happened. Because you should never put your finger on the trigger unless you're intending to shoot it. Secondly, you never point a gun at anyone, anytime, unless you intend to kill them.
Right.
You don't point a gun, you know, if somebody says something you don't like, hey, you know, which they do on TV. So people think that's the proper way to act. You don't do that. Follow those safety rules, but also get to know the gun laws. And also understand being armed is a commandment of Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be a gun. But you should be armed and ready to defend yourself and your loved ones and anyone else. Luke 22:36, this is not multiple choice. Jesus said unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. But you don't use it the way Peter did.
Yeah.
Peter used the sword to cut the ear off of a guy that was just doing his job. Cops show up at your house. You don't threaten them. You be cordial. You talk to them cordially. Be the one attorney that taught us in our concealed carry classes that we went through years ago. He said, you know, if they arrest you, you go to jail and call an attorney, and we'll take care of it then. Because if you resist and you do anything like that, no judge, you don't hear you. And you just blew your liberty card. He used to call it your liberty card. So if you don't pull your gun out unless it's at home in your house to clean it, or if you're going somewhere to shoot and you do it properly, other than that, you don't pull your gun out unless it's a moment where you are willing to put down your liberty card and take a chance. Because if you use your gun, the first thing they're going to do is arrest you and investigate. I mean, that's what they'll do. You could be a bank robber, come in and you shoot the bank robber. They're still going to put you in the back of a car and begin an investigation. And so I've carried my gun, and I'll confess here to a general statement that I carried it when it was illegal, because those laws were unconstitutional. But I've never had to pull my gun, and I hope I never do. And that's what we want to get in life, without having to do that. But you should review and learn gun laws before beginning to carry. And there's the screenshot there, Buckeye Firearms. They call it the Ohio CCW Information Center, where you can find all the information you need. Number two, a reason to carry. Be ready for more rioting. Reports are coming out that on the same day that constitutional carry takes effect in Ohio, that the Supreme Court could overturn Roe v. Wade.
Nice.
Could be as soon as tomorrow. How many of you have seen they're already getting very violent? How many of you saw the woman who jumped out in front of the caravan and the guy had to tackle her? As a woman, he was three times her size, man. She's like a devil possessed. She was fuming and saying all this stuff, and then and took him. He tried to hold her down, took two or three others to help get her held still. But keep in mind, liberal states will continue to kill babies. With all this talk about overturning Roe v. Wade and the end of abortion, it's not the end of abortion. But it will be the end of abortion in states where liberals don't rule. Where liberals rule, they'll continue to kill babies. Ohio bill would ban abortion without rape exemption. So as soon as this Roe v. Wade, if it's overturned, there's a bill. It's called a trigger law. It'll take place if Roe v. Wade is overturned. The Human Life Protection Act, House Bill 598. If this bill passes the legislature and Governor Mike DeWine signs it, which he's indicated he will, it would only come into effect if the Supreme Court wholly or partially upholds a state's authority to prohibit abortion. So, pray that Ohio will immediately outlaw all abortion in the state. That's what we're praying for. All right, if you have a Bible, Luke 18. If you don't, there's some in the pew there. Luke 18, verses 18 to 19. Why callest thou me good? Our continuing verse-by-verse study of the book of Luke. We're going to read verses 18 and 19 together. If you're there, read it with me. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Amen? So we note that Jesus had just said this, Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. If you missed that, go back and catch that previous study. But J.C. Ryle, a 19th century Anglican, he wrote that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all relate it as following the account of the Lord's sayings about little children. What we're reading here this morning, verses 18 and 19, he goes on to say, It seems intended to show us how a man may miss heaven for want of a childlike indifference to worldly riches. And I thought that is pretty much in a nutshell what we're going to see, and especially in our next study. But now Jesus is approached by a man with a question. Verse 18, And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is actually the most important question related to our very existence that a man or woman can ask.
Amen.
What is amazing to me is how few ask the question. How few seem to even care.
Yeah.
I'm sure most of you have probably had the experience, but if you haven't, if you take a pack of tracts and go out trying to hand out gospel tracts. Just go out on the street here in Worthington and try to hand out free gospel tracts, and how many people will put up their hand and not even want to talk about it? And if you ask them, have you ever been saved?
Nah, I'm good.
You won't talk about it. When a reasonable person would be seeking the answer, not even having to be confronted. The very fact that people have to be confronted shows you there's something really spiritual about this. It's not intellectual. We prominently display the following video on our website at bbfohio.com. It's titled, The Most Important Thing. When people come to our website, many times they may come because they want to find directions or service times or whatever. And many of our visits are from people just who go there to get on the live stream. And if you go to bbfohio.com and live stream pops right up. But if you scroll down just a little bit further, then you see this video. And you just click it and play it. It's been viewed more than 10,000 times just this year on Rumble and Sermon Audio. And if you watch it, it's dealing with this very question and the fact that there's no more important question to get an answer for to anybody, anywhere, anytime. I can say that to anybody and know it's true if you haven't already gotten the answer. What must I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus begins his response, though, with this profound statement that we see in verse 19. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Now, this is a very important matter for those of you who want to consider yourself a soul winner. If you want to have a gospel ministry, there have actually been, I don't know how many in numbers, thousands of people who have gone through soul-winning clinics. Others have bought materials and they have used to have booklets, and then others have watched videos or whatever. And you watch that thing and you find that they will tell you all kinds of things. They'll tell you about, you know, how to approach people and make sure you have a breath mint. Shower. all these things. And they also tell you, here's how you can approach people and you make them think about their eternal soul. And even the good stuff. I mean, you got to get them lost before you get them saved. Amen. You ever heard that? That's good information. I've actually seen some of these soul winning clinics and evangelism things, and they don't start with Jesus. You have to start with Jesus. And that's what Jesus did. This guy says, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And where does Jesus start? Why callest thou me good? He's confronting this guy with, what do you think of me? Why are you calling me good? Now, before answering the question about eternal life, Jesus confronts this man with his opinion of who Jesus is. Folks, until they believe that Jesus is God in flesh who came as a man to die for your sins, was buried and rose again, conquering sin and death. It was a demonstration of his deity. And until you believe that, the rest is nonsense. It doesn't even make sense. It's all about Jesus first and foremost. Then we get to you being a sinner and the fact you need to be saved and so forth. We must be clear on the point Jesus is making here, or nothing else said will matter. And I've told you the stories. I've had people boast about leading thousands of people to the Lord. I've led thousands of people to the Lord. And I was a young Christian, and I think I was probably 19 or 20 at the time, maybe 21. And this guy talked about leading thousands, and I said, wow, I want to do that. Amen? How many of you would, So I sat down and said, well, tell me, what did you do? And he described his soul-winning plan of salvation. He would walk up to you and say, would you like to go to heaven? Well, how many people wouldn't say yes to that? I mean, unless you're like the little kid where a preacher was preaching, he says, how many today would like to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand except the little kid. And he says, I mean, today, how many of you would like to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand except the little kid. And finally, he says, well, son, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, well, sure, but I thought you was getting fixing up to take everybody today. Scared him. Everybody, I think, wants to go. What's the old country song? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Don't you want to go to heaven? So, you know, that's a great opening question if you get back to the point. But he never did. He said, he'd say, well, you want to go to heaven? I'd say, yeah. Well, would you be willing to say this prayer with me? Sure. Bow your head and close your eyes. Repeat after me. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Doesn't matter what you say from that point. It's meaningless. They don't even know who Jesus is. They haven't even been confronted with the fact that He's paid for their sins, shed His blood. They haven't even been told about the resurrection. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. You know, you might as well just do that. But yeah, that lady in that movie we saw. That's an inside joke. You've got to be saved by receiving Jesus Christ and what He did to save you. Just repeating a prayer means nothing. But people will do it. Number one, they'll do it sometimes just to get you to shut up and get off their back.
Yeah.
Other times, they'll think they're really being saved even though they have no idea what just happened. I've gone to many doors, knocked on the door. They come to the door and I talk to them and say, well, I was saved. I think I was about 15 years old. Drinking, smoking. You look saved. So what happened? I prayed with the preacher. Oh yeah? Well, I mean, what happened?
What do you mean what happened? That's what I prayed with the preacher. That's when I got saved.
I mean, what were you praying about?
You know, I don't remember.
I am not making that up. I've had these conversations. And so I then try to untangle the mess created in that poor man or woman's mind and heart and explain to them that that's not being saved. That's getting the preacher off your back. That's giving that preacher something to brag about. Oh, another soul saved. A lot of them would show up to get, well, they say this percentages among a lot of these soul winners is only like 25% show up to be baptized. But then they get baptized and never come back to church. You say, well, I didn't think you had to do it. But you don't have to do that to be saved. You do that because you are saved. But if that's all there is to your salvation, is, well, I said the prayer, I got baptized, I think I'm good. What about Jesus? Yeah, he's cool. Okay, but what did he do for you? Listen, if you're leading someone to the Lord, one of the first things, or, well, I'll put it this way, before you tell that person they're saved, you should ask them, and they should be able to explain to you what's happening. If they can't explain what is happening, they're not being saved. I mean, it's an impossibility. You have to know what's happening in order for you to be saved. What's happening? You just ask them, say, well, okay, now do you understand what salvation means? Don't just take yes, 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 yes. No, ask them, could you explain to me now why is it you believe you need to be saved? Because I'm a sinner and I know I'm lost. Whatever they say, as long as it's biblical. See, now do you understand what did Jesus do in order to save you? He died on the cross. He paid for my sins. And then what happened? Well, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. Done. It's simple as can be, but it's so simple and people still skip it. God has made it that simple, and yet people skip it. And a lot of times because they're motivated by pride, they want to be able to brag. Unless you're right about Jesus, you're wrong on everything else. I don't care if you've been a professing Christian for 30 years. If what I'm talking to you about Jesus, about who He is and what He did to pay for your sins and conquering sin and death, and it's all strange to you, you were never saved. I do not like making anybody doubt their salvation. but I like less the idea of people going to hell. And for that reason, we have to make the gospel clear, because it's not being preached in most pulpits today. It's not clearly being preached, and it's not being presented clearly by so-called soul winners. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. So what do? You present the gospel, and you say, are you willing in your heart to turn from whatever it is? It could be your religion. Do you know religion is sinful? It's a sin. Idolatry is a sin. False gospels, sin. False religious, well, if they need to be saved, whatever religion they have obviously is false. So they need to repent of that sin. And repent of any sin, whatever sin, is keeping them from turning to Jesus for salvation. And then once they have that repentant heart, it's not doing anything, it's a heart matter. The lexicons will say repentance is a change of mind. That's a false definition, because it's a partial definition. It's a change of mind and heart that results in a change of action. The action isn't repentance. That's works. But the repentance produces the change. See? And without that, it's a false definition. So look again there at verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Hopefully, good and master are capitalized in your Bible. I didn't check the new versions, but in your King James, there it should be capitalized. For good reason. It's a quote from Garvey and Pendleton, 1914. I love these old guys, the way they word things and everything. Jesus shows that if his language had been used sincerely, talking about the language of the ruler, it would have committed him to a declaration of great faith. For he had addressed Jesus by a title which belongs only to God, good master. Don't call me that. And he had asked Jesus a question concerning that of which God alone was fitted to speak. Now, you and I, we are able to share the information because we have God's Word. But it's God's Word, not our Word. See? No man giving his own opinion on that is fit. If your response, your answer to the question, how can I be saved? How can I inherit eternal life? If you're not quoting God, you're wrong. You're not fit to come up with that answer. Only God knows that answer. Verse 19. Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Jesus is using the word good here, in a sense qualified by its perfect sense in reference to God. If you look up the word good in a dictionary, there's dozens of definitions. And it's according to whether it's being used as a noun or an adjective and so forth, and there's dozens more. So it's all again about what? Context?
Context.
That's right. The context is that he's addressing Jesus as good master. And Jesus is responding that in the sense that he's using that word, there's only one who is good. And that's God. Jesus is not saying that he's not good. Look at the text. There have been people who have said that. They've actually said, well, it's a really strange thing here. Jesus seems to be saying he's not good. That's not what he's saying. Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. He's not saying, why are you calling me good? I'm not good. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, do not call me good unless you believe that I am God.
Amen.
Yep.
That's what he's saying. It's called a syllogism.
Ooh, that's a new word.
That's an English word. I'm not speaking in tongues. Syllogism. How many of you have heard of the syllogism? It's a three-point statement used in debates and such. And a lot of times what the debate will be laid out and say, this is the case being made, and there'll be someone be pro and someone con. The syllogism is, none is perfectly good but God alone. Amen? Point two, Jesus is perfectly good. Therefore, Jesus is God. None is perfectly good but God alone. Jesus is perfectly good. Therefore, Jesus is God. Why callest thou me good? You can call Jesus good if you believe he's God. Amen? So scripture was scripture. Jesus was conceived without sin. The reason why none of us are good in that sense that he's using the word is because every one of us were conceived in sin, because we have a sinful father who provided the seed that fertilized the egg that your mother carried, and that then attached to the wall in the womb and became a child. The moment of conception, it's a child. But at that moment, it is a child that has a human sinful nature. And Jesus was born without that. Look at Matthew chapter 1. And these are important points to understand. If you're going to know Jesus, knowing Jesus is knowing who he is.